Good morning. Welcome to Living Fellowship, everyone. Welcome online. Good to be here today. As we say, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Or you would say it's good to be the house of the Lord. Because that's where the Lord dwells, is in you and I. Amen? Now, I've been thinking a lot about discernment and about the gifts of the Spirit. And specifically, one of the gifts is discerning of spirits, really being stirred up in my spirit. But today we're going to go and continue a little bit more in the thoughts of worship. I'm going to go back to John, the 4th chapter, where Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we're going to cover some things there with that. But the first thing we want to look at is when Jesus said the true worshiper worships in spirit and in truth. We're going to cover that first. And I'm going to give you a little bit of, I'm going to read a little excerpt from an article that I read, I liked, and I hope you do also. But we'll cover what it means to be in spirit and in truth, because he said the true worshipers must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And so what does that exactly mean? Walker, we're going to probably have you grab the scripture where Paul said to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, the thought I'm coming to you with here today is Jesus is worthy. Jesus alone is worthy, as we listen to today in our praise and worship service. He's worthy of all your praise. He's worthy of all your honor. And all glory goes to him. He is worthy. Now, let's go over to John, the 4th chapter, real quick. We'll read both of those verses together. Now, last week when we talked about the history of worship. And this week we're going to talk more about why Jesus is so worthy to be worshiped. And the understanding of what it means to be in spirit and in truth, because Walker's going to read us a scripture here in a little bit that says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So there is the ability to be in spirit of your mind. But there's also, as we're going to read in the book of Revelation, it's throughout the whole Bible, that to be in the spirit is to actually be in another realm. And what do you mean by be in another realm? With John, when he said, I was in the spirit, the things he was seeing, he was on the island of Patmos to receive the word of the Lord, but he wasn't seeing those things on that island. He was seeing something in another realm. He was in, as you can, we will read in the Bible, in a vision. And seven times the scripture talks about when they were in a vision, they were in a trance, like Peter. When he was in a vision, he was in a trance when the sheet knit at the four corners was let down from heaven, and God had directed him through that experience to take the gospel, to take the word of the Lord to the Gentiles, an individual named Cornelius. And so God speaks many times by dream, by vision, in these trances, an open vision, but we'll see by the scriptures that's what it means to be in the spirit. So you could be in the spirit of your mind, the spirit of thought, or you could actually be in this dream or in this vision and seeing the things you see in another place. You could be seeing them in a heavenly place. There are many examples of them seeing heaven, seeing the throne of God, even seeing angels, cherubims, seraphims, in these experiences, in the spirit, in heaven. Well, those of you that have read the Bible much know exactly what I'm talking about. Many times with the prophets like Ezekiel, Habakkuk, Isaiah, they talk about the visions that they saw. And so even the birth of Jesus, how did they know Jesus was being born? What was the instruction, even to the wise men? They were warned of God in a dream not to go back to Herod, because he said when the child was born, they wanted to worship Jesus. When the child was born, he said, go find him, come back, give me word, I want to worship him also. But God warned them in a dream, don't, no, he's lying. He don't want to worship. He's going to kill the child, as he tried to do. Now, John 4, we paraphrased it, but let's get the whole thing here. Yeah, we want to read 23 and 24. Jesus speaking, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, see, how many of you count yourself as a true worshiper? And why does it say true worship? You know, we might have mentioned some of this last week, talking about the history of worship, went all the way back to the beginning to the book of Genesis and showed it with Cain and Abel, Noah, Moses, Abraham. And but what does this mean, the true worshipers? There were times, did you know that word, as it says, plural worshipers, is in the Bible 6 times. You know, 4 of the times that it's in there, they were worshipers of Baal. They were worshipers of a false god. So that would not be a true worshiper, would it? You got to have, as we said, what's the first thing you must have? You got to have the true God in order to be a worshiper, a true worshiper. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now, real quick, who are we worshiping? The Father, specifically. You guys did that great. Stayed right in the same mind. Here, it's the Father. And according to Scripture, only God himself is to be worshiped. Amen? You're not to worship false gods. You're to worship the I Am, Jim, Jehovah, the true God, or our Father. Now, in another place, we'll cover the part where Jesus says here, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must. See, this is not a, there's no compromise here. How's that? Must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, we're going to cover what it is to be in spirit, as I've already kind of went over a little bit. But what about in truth? When you're worshiping Baal, it's not in truth, is it, Walker? Because he's not the true God. But what about when Jesus said, is it John, the 10th chapter? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. So if we're going to get to our Father, if we're going to get to God who is a spirit, there's only one way. The way, the truth, the life. You got to come through Jesus. You got to come through the truth in order to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now let's go to the book of Revelation, the first chapter. Well, you just start off showing what took place here. Verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So God, the Father, gives a revelation called the revelation of Jesus Christ to Jesus. Jesus sends his angels to his servant, his angel plural, singular, his angel to his servant John, and John sees, hears, and records these things for all of God's servants. Make sense? Now, here, where does it say that John was in the Spirit, Walker? Or tell anybody that sees it. Okay, verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom of and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So notice, just like I said, he tells you, I was in the isle called Patmos. I was there to receive this testimony. I was there to receive the revelation of Jesus Christ. I was there for the word of God, is what he's saying. And in verse 10, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So he's in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Walker, find the scripture. I believe it's Revelation 9:17, where he talks about he sees the horses and Jacinth and all these things. He says very specifically, He was in a vision, okay? Go with me to the fourth chapter, while Walker's looking for that, of this same book. Because John's telling you how he received the Word of God here. How did he receive it? He was in the Spirit. Revelation 4 and verse 1, John says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven." Now, hold on a second. He's on the island of Patmos. But he says, "I'm seeing a door. I'm seeing in heaven." Isn't that amazing? He said, "There was a door open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, 'Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter.' And immediately I was in the Spirit." So was he in the Spirit when he saw the door, when he saw heaven, when he seen? He was. But wait a minute. There's a higher place. He said, "Come up." See, there is much more to God, I think, than many of us have been taught in the past. There are many, many witnesses that saw God. But you know, there's a verse in, I believe it's, is it Exodus or Numbers, the fourth chapter, that said 70 of the elders all saw God, but the New Testament, it says no man has seen God at any time. How does that take place? Well, that's a lesson for a whole number of time, but I'm actually explaining it to you right now. You don't see God with these eyes. You got to see God with your spiritual eyes. In other words, you got to be in the Spirit to see God, which is a Spirit. And in that place of that Spirit is where you worship God. So how many of you here today, when we got together, we begin to praise and we begin to worship? In your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, you gave God praise and worship. Now let me read something to you before we go any farther here. This was an article I read. I thought it was pretty good. I'm just going to read a little piece of it to you. It's talking about worship. And the Old Testament, translated from the Hebrew word for worship is shekah. And the Greek word, which is from the New Testament, is proskuneo. And it says both of these is to bow down, either one. They share. Just because it was translated from the Hebrew or translated from the Greek, it's to bow down, to prostrate, to do obeisance. Let me see here. Oops. To honor, reverence, show homage, to pay homage paid to the superior beings or powers, whether men, angels, or God. The English word, this is really cool, the English word for worship is worthship, worthship, denoting worthiness, okay? It says, worthiness of the individual receiving the special honor due to his worth. While the word is used of men, it is especially used of the divine honors paid to a deity, whether of the heathen religions or of the true and living God. So what you worship means something to you, huh? It's worthy. God is worthy. And they were singing this morning, and I was just shutting my eyes, seeing good things of the Lord. But did you hear the one song that our praise and worship team, when they talked about "You Alone"? You alone are worthy. I'd have my wife do this, but she's out there with the kids. I'm going to have Tim's wife, Jen, read the, unless there's anything you want to do there, Jen, the chorus, right? Yeah. But if there's more there you think needs to be read, you go ahead and do that. Because we all got together today in unity, and we sang this. Did you sing it with your heart? Did you sing it with in the spirit of your mind? And here's the other thing. When you're doing those things, you could go into the Spirit and see more than just the Grange Hall or this podium that we have up here in Visalia, California. You could see the great things of God in the Spirit. Jen, you got that?
I do. I will do the chorus, but I'm going to do little bits of the verses too, since you're talking about it.
Sounds good.
It says, I will worship, I will praise you, I will seek you, I will follow, I will bow down, I will serve you, I will give you everything, I will lift up my eyes to your throne, and I will trust you. Those are kind of the parts of the verses. But then the chorus says, I will give you all my worship, I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise.
You alone are worthy to be worshiped. You alone are worthy of my praise. Isn't that awesome? Now, what would you do without Jesus? Could you worship God? She's right. Ella's sitting on the front row, and she said, no, you cannot. We made that very simple. Jesus made it as plain as the nose on your face. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. There is no way into the Father but by me. Pretty amazing, isn't it? You got to come through the truth. You got to come through the Word. You got to come through Jesus to be a true worshiper and a worshiper of the Father. Now, I'm going to shift gears just a little bit on this. You'll see in the Scriptures, as we talked about last week, they worship the true God, but then there were times they worship false gods, right? Now, we're going to read here in Revelation, the 19th chapter. You can follow along if you'd like. Probably prefer that if you just listen would be better. You could always go back and read this. We're going to read in two places. As we're talking about John being in the Spirit, receiving the Word of God, he gets, how do you want to say, so excited, Daryl. He was really appreciative for what he was receiving. So he begins to bow down, surely. He's going to worship this angel. And we're going to read what the angel says to him. Is there any time in Scripture you can think of that men wanted others to worship them? Huh? What about in the book of Daniel? What about Nebuchadnezzar? The king, he said, you can't worship anybody else but me. And if you do, and you get caught, we're going to throw you in the lion's den. That's what happened to Daniel, right? But you're going to see here when John goes to worship the angel, this is an angel of God. This is a true angel. Remember, Jennifer, I showed you, it talks about sometimes that God sent evil angels among them. This is not an evil angel. This is an angel that knows God. This is an angel that knows the truth. And in verse 10, John said, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So is he receiving from the spirit of prophecy this testimony? Yes, he is. Walker, you got that scripture I asked you for. Is it 9:17, Revelation? Okay.
9:17 in Revelation says, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and then that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were at the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone.
So did you hear that? We read twice, Revelation the first chapter, Revelation the fourth chapter. John said he was in the Spirit. He was there on the Lord's day. One place he said, I heard a voice behind me as it was a trumpet that said, come up hither. Walker explained to us very plainly by John's testimony, by John's word in Revelation 9:17, I was in the vision. And he tells us what he's seeing when he's in that vision. So he's on an island called Patmos, but he's in another realm, Daryl. He's in another place. He's in a place where God has created for us to worship him. And you have the other scripture about the mind, because as I said, you could be in the spirit of your mind. You could be in the Spirit of the Lord. There's higher levels of being in the Spirit of heaven. We know that Paul talks about the third heaven. And in the book of Revelation, there's a time where the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and a new heaven and a new earth. So you see, and see, a lot of people don't know these things. They just say heaven. When I die, I'm going there. It's all going to be great. If I'm a golfer, I'll have the greatest golf course ever. If I'm a hunter, I'll be able to hunt with the greatest game that ever was. Jim's both of those. Jim, I hope they have them all there for you, buddy. Well, you ain't golfed in quite some time, but Dathan is. You got that, Walker?
Yeah.
I'll start in verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is a corrupt, according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Did you hear that? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, just a real quick sidebar here. If it says be renewed, was your mind good at one time? If it says renewed, then it was new at one time. You know when you had that good mind? You know when you had that new mind? When you thought right? It was, Travis, when you were with God before you came for to this place. You almost say God forsaken, but isn't it God didn't forsake this place. But you got to get your mind renewed. The spirit of your mind renewed to be back in that place where you commune with God Almighty, where you see God himself, where you see the things that we're reading about right here. This is Revelation 22. We're going to read verse 8 and 9. I'm doing this for a very specific reason, because if you know God and you love God and you are a true worshiper, you're not going to worship an angel. You're not going to worship a man. You're not going to worship a woman. You're not going to worship yourself. You're going to worship one God. Hear ye, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. But here's the punchline. I'm getting ready to read you some scriptures where Jesus worked the works of God. He cleansed the leper. He, even at his birth, wise men came to worship him. Huh? In the house. When he was working miracles, like cleanse the man of leprosy, they came to worship him. And I want you to notice very specifically, Jesus did not stop them. He did not do what this angel did. How about Paul in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter? Julie's not in here, but Jim, there was a woman that had a spirit of divination. Did she come, Daryl, and worship those apostles and say, these men be the great men of God? She was saying other, and it irritated them. It agitated them. At one point, Paul turns around. He rebukes this spirit of divination. It comes out of the woman, and she had masters that she was getting much gain by working this divination spirit. And they were so upset. They wanted to beat them up. Beat up Paul, beat up Silas, beat up the apostles, because they lost their power to get money, to get gain. My point being in this is Paul, as a man, as a great man of God, would not allow anybody to worship him. Peter's at the gate, beautiful in the book of Acts, and his shadow heals a man that was sitting at the gate to receive alms. But Peter did not, as an apostle, as a man, did not allow an individual, man or woman, to worship him. These great apostles, they knew, Walker, they knew God. They were true worshipers. They still are. And they would not allow an individual to worship. Here in verse 8 of Revelation 22, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, again, Walker read it. He's in the spirit. He says, I'm hearing and I'm seeing, Daryl. I'm hearing and I'm seeing. I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Did he not learn anything back in the 19th chapter or what? Well, maybe he's just getting two witnesses, right? But I'll tell you what, before you give John any fault in what he's doing here, wait till you're in a vision. Wait till you're in a dream and you see the things that John saw here. And I've shared with you in the first recording of this, man, I melted like butter. I sat on a throne. Jesus himself come up beside me, put his hand on my shoulder, and called me his son. I began to worship, Travis. And I began to, I came off the throne and laid prostrate before the Lord. He'd put a crown on my head. My point being here is, until you experience something like that, don't fault John for, you know, getting into the spirit and wanting to worship. But it wasn't going to be this angel. He said he fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. He said, worship God. That's the word to you here today. As a true worshiper, worship God. Okay, we're going to shift gears for the third time here. Is it Matthew, the second chapter? Let's find this here. Verse 11. This is talking about the wise men that came to Jesus' birth. Let's do 10 and 11. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child, talking about Jesus, with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now you might say, well, he was just a little child. He couldn't stop them. Now, is Jesus in this scripture at his birth, is he a man? Yeah. Is he flesh and blood, flesh and bone, Jennifer? He is. Say, but he was a child. He couldn't stop them from worshiping him. Well, here's the thing. I don't care if it was Jesus prophesied 600 plus years before from Isaiah, if it was Jesus at his birth, if it was Jesus at 12 years old, if it was Jesus entering his ministry at 30, or Jesus dying, being buried, and resurrected from the dead, he always knew who he was. He always knew, even though I am flesh and blood, I am God. I am the Son of the living God. As a matter of fact, you know, that was the thing that made his enemies, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the most angry at him. They said, you being a man maketh yourself God. In reality, Jesus didn't contend with them, but I wish I was there. I'd have said to him, he ain't making himself God. He is God. God has made him God. Think about the confidence that each and every one of us could have here and should have, knowing who we are in God. Travis, knowing that we're a true worshiper, knowing that God has made a way in the spirit and in the truth to worship him in spirit and truth. Isn't that amazing? That God has chosen us, a holy generation, a peculiar people, to be true worshipers? Yes, Daryl, Jim, would you get Daryl that microphone, please?
I was just thinking that didn't Elizabeth worship Christ in the womb while he was still in the womb of Mary?
Elizabeth? You mean John in the womb of Elizabeth?
Didn't she worship? Well, I'd have to go back and read it and look.
Elizabeth did, and the baby leaped in the womb. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While he was still in the womb.
So even in the womb, huh, Jared? Yeah, Daryl.
That's quick.
That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Yep. So like I said, before, at birth, they're worshiping him. Here in John the 8th chapter, that, you know what, Daryl? That's a great point. Even before being born, that baby heard the word of the Lord, John, and leaped in her womb. He heard the word of the Lord. Now take this seriously and receive the Holy Ghost. So it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's his will, his desire to give you the Holy Ghost. All you need is be able to hear the word. Even today, hear the truth, hear the word of the Lord, and receive ye the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's good thoughts, Daryl. I like that. Matthew 8 and verse 1. This is Jesus cleansing a leper, a man with a disease of leprosy. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. My point in these scriptures are, they're worshiping him. And unlike the angel, Jesus doesn't say, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't worship me. See, Paul talks about the mystery of godliness. It's a great mystery. And you know what he says about the mystery of godliness? God was manifest in the flesh. John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus always knew he was the way. He always knew he was the truth. He always knew that his Father had sent him to reconcile man back unto God, to take God's creation that had gone into sin and corrupted and been separated from him. He's the repairer of the breach. He is the one and the only one that was a man that is worthy to be worshiped. Isn't that awesome? And so that's my message to you here today. Jesus is worthy. Jesus is worthy, as we sang, of your praise. He's worthy of all your worship. And you can go back and read, there were many more times that they worshiped Jesus. There was a woman Julie and I talked about with an alabaster box. And she came all full of precious ointment. And one of the disciples at this time was a thief. And when he saw, he said, we could have sold this for 100 pence worth, whatever the number was. We could have given this to the poor. Why is this stuff happening? I'll tell you why it's happening. Because Jesus knew who he was, and so did she. She anointed him. She took that alabaster box. And Jesus said, because she worshiped him and did these things, Julie, that this was going to be spoken of from a memorial for her. And I'll say it forever. All right, so how many of you perceive the history of worship, what you got to do to worship, and have a willing mind and a willing heart to be a true worshiper here today? My hand will go up first and high. Any questions, any thoughts? Okay, God bless you. I appreciate you. Remember Bible studies throughout the week. Remember to pray for one another, that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And do me a favor. Worship God. Do yourself a favor. Worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you.